talking about David. And David was a man that everybody in the Jewish community knew about. But Paul, when he was talking to this Jewish group, David referred to him as the man after God's own heart. Well, they knew that he had a very, very, very outstanding reign as the king of Israel. But, you know, he had some issues too, okay? Now, the reason why I was attracted to him, because the issues that he had were overcome by what God had did in his heart. Amen? So, Paul chose to describe him as a person whom God had called a man after his own heart. But the issues that David had, he had issues with family. As you know, his oldest son, Amnon, he killed his other son, Absalom, because he had a sexual relationship with his sister. Now, David, in his kingdom, could have taken care of that. But he had a heart a little bit more for Absalom than he did for Amnon. And later on, Absalom turned on him too. So the issues that David had was family, but he had more than that. He had other family issues too. But the other issue is he had pride. And sometimes that pride would rise up and take advantage of him. But in that, he was a man after God's own heart. Now, we're going to go through seven areas that I found that gave me the qualities of a man after God's own heart. Now, he also had some emotional issues. As you know, he wrote a gang of Proverbs, but we don't know how many he actually wrote, because some of them were wrote to him, some of them were wrote for him, some of them were wrote about him. But we know he did write some, because they were chronologically put in the Bible. As he went along, he had wrote some of these psalms. Now, when he was out in the fields taking care of his father's sheep, he began to have a relationship with God that we don't really know exactly what was going on out there, but we have a pretty good idea that they were talking to each other and they had some heartfelt situations that was going on. Because David's heart began to, I don't know if he was born with a heart like this, that God just began to develop it as he grew older, or that he yearned for it and God gave it to him. Either way, he had a heart after God. Now, while he was out there shepherding, we know that he talked to God and he played his harp. He got good at that. And he began to have a life that was beginning to show the kind of man that God had given him while he was out there in the fields. And so, when he was out there playing his harp and taking care of his sheep and talking to God, talking about the things that really, really, probably he was saying things to him that he didn't even say to his father. We don't know, but he could have been. Because whatever he said out there and whatever he said after that was definitely anointing. Amen? Now, a little bit about me for about 2 minutes. I'm a Washingtonian. I was born and raised in Yakima. And I was raised in Selo, Washington, which is 5 miles north of Yakima, up until I was about 12. Well, we had a little spread out there. And we had about 20 acres on one side and 20 acres on the other side. And there was five of us boys, but it seemed like I didn't get to the table as quick as my other brothers did, and they were all bigger than me. So I had to do what they didn't want to do. And that was, on the one side was it was water. We could take the animals over. We had goats, cows, sheep, you name it, we had it. And we would take a certain amount, and we would put them on the side where it was green, where they could be watered. On the other side, which was on, we had another 10 acres, 20 acres on the other side, that wasn't watered, but it was green enough to where we could do what we needed to do with, but it wasn't fenced. So my dad had me go out there and watch these animals. And sometimes it got kind of hot, but that was a time I know I spent a lot of time. I didn't talk to God. I wish I would have, because I had learned about David in Sunday school, but I was thinking more about swimming that afternoon or playing ball that afternoon because I was into a lot of that. But anyway, those times that I was out there, you have a solitary time, because especially if you have sheep, because sheep are not going to just run off. Now, a goat will. A goat will take off. If something spooks a goat, he'll just take off. But a sheep, he will wander off. So there's no big, you know, rush to get him back, because he's not going to be running most of the time. So when I was out there, so I had a lot of time to do what we had to do, and I didn't watch no more than maybe 20, 25 sheep at a time. So in that, David had a plenty of time to talk. And so as he was talking to God, he began to have a relationship with him, and that relationship became intimate. It became closer than any other relationship that he had, even with his brothers and with his dad. And in this intimate relationship, him and God spoke to each other, and when they spoke to each other, it was something that got a hold of his heart, and he began to grow from it. Let's go to, turn with me to Psalm 63, verse number 1. And the Bible reads like this: "And God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Let's jump down to verse number 6. "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me." Now, those are the things that he wrote, but those are things that were heartfelt. I mean, it was more than heartfelt. This was deep down in his heart. It was so deep that it causes me to try to get a hold of this. And when I try to get a hold of it, I can only ask God to get me there. And the second thing I wanted to talk about was that on Psalms, the 42nd chapter, verse number 1, he says, "As a deer pants for the water." Some translations have other than a deer. A hind, I think sometimes they call it. But anyway, this is how much he desired to have a relationship with God. This is how much he desired to have that communication with him. There was nothing stronger. There's only one thing that's stronger than the thirst, okay? There's eating, but thirst is the second or third. But the thing is this is how much he desired to have that relationship with God. This is how much he desired to know God. And we know that we can have relationships with people that are intimate, especially married couples, and they get to know each other very, 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 very well. And we call it intimate. We call it intimacy, which is great. Now, to have that with God is another spiritual level. And when David was called that by the Samuel, the prophet, before, God was telling Samuel that he wanted a man that was after his own heart. And he says, and he told Samuel, don't look at what's on the outside. Don't look at how tall he is, or don't look at if he's good looking or not. Because that's what man looks at. But God looks at the heart. And so when David was chosen, this was the answer to what God had asked for, or God knew what he wanted. So when we begin to seek God's face and we begin to want to know him to the bare max of knowing who he is, and it ain't just about going to church on a Monday or a Sunday and a Wednesday And it's not about just attending certain Bible studies, which is good because we need to eat and feed on the Word of God. But when we want to get a hold of God and we want to hear what God has to say to us, there's things that we need to do. I was talking to a gentleman the other day about the situation that's going on in his life. I said, there's desperate things that we need to do. We have to fast and pray and spend time with God and allow him to know that, look, there's nothing that's going to stop me from getting to know who you are. There's nothing going to stop me. And when we get to that point, and God knows it's not an easy point to get to, but I tell you, I had to use part of that to get to where I was because I was, like Pastor said, I was a knucklehead. And so I wasn't easily, you know, accepting things. But when I decided to change my life, I had to change my heart because things would still be happening that I really didn't want to happen, didn't want to happen. But God knew my heart, and he began to work with it. He began to mold it and shape it into the things that he desired to see as a result of that. So out of this intimate relationship, we have that I searched, and I came up with, well, God gave it to me, these seven qualities or attributes that would cause a person to have a heart after God. The first one, the first one is committed. Now, David was committed, as you know, from the very beginning to taking care of his sheep, his father's sheep. What his father told him to do, he was committed to do it. And God seen that. And it pleased him. And later on, he was committed to King Saul. And he was committed to the nation of Israel. Now, as we look at the very beginning of David's life and the situations that begin to happen in his life, there's stories upon stories in the Word of God. And in the Bible, there's no other person that has more stories about him except for Jesus Christ. So this is, you could go 1st, 2nd Samuel, into the Chronicles, and there's all kinds of different stories about David and his attributes and the things that he did and the things that we would look at and we would have to come to a conclusion, this man was a committed man. Yes, we have some great men in the Bible, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Peter, Apostle Paul, but none of them had a name that was so unique to one person, and that was David, a man after God's own heart. Now, that is hard to comprehend when we look at it in the physical. We look at it like a man after God's own heart, a man has to be perfect. No, but the heart of God was there transferred into David, and he was still battling with that other guy. And that other guy is the enemy, because there was issues that he came across. But in those issues, God showed him and whoever was around him how this man's heart was. He was committed. Second one, he was courageous. He was courageous, first off, from killing a bear and a lion. Now, when he did this, nobody actually knew about it until he spoke about it to Saul. Now, Saul, when Saul was told about this, David went into detail. He says, when this lion came and grabbed one of the lambs and went to take off with it, I went after him and I got the lamb back. Then he said this, the lion turned on him. And when the lion turned on him, what did he do? He said he grabbed the mane and killed him. Now, that is courageous. He could have got the lamb and kept going. But when that lion turned and began to go after him, he knew that the power of the Holy Spirit was with him because he put himself in a position for the Holy Spirit to work in his life. And as he did this, God enabled him to do exactly what he was supposed to do. So when he killed the Philistine, Goliath, he killed him, but when he killed him, he not only spoke about it as he was going towards him, because he wasn't killing him because of himself. He knew where his power was, and he began to speak on that power, and when that power was spoken, it became evident. It manifested itself. So when he slung that sling and hit that Philistine in the middle of his forehead and he fell forward, the rest of the other nation over there began to flee. Amen? Now that's number two. Number three is loyalty. David was loyal. Now this is where we can look at, as Pastor had been talking about, friendship. Loyalty is a deep situation, because when issues and situations arise, your heart is going to go where your loyalty lies. And if it lies in trying to get someplace, you're going to do that. Even though you may not want to, but your loyalty just ain't strong enough to keep you there to fight when you know that you're fighting a losing fight if you stay there. But they say they have what? Fight or flight, right? David, he did both. But he was still a man after God's own heart. In his loyalty, this is what he did. In 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, verse number 1, it reads like this. And it came to pass when he had made an end to speaking unto Saul, this is right after he had killed the giant, Saul wanted to talk to him, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, when this was happening, the power of the Holy Spirit was moving within David's life, and Jonathan received it. Jonathan even turned to him as a friend against his own father, the king Saul. And they did situations that saved David's life because of the loyalty that Jonathan had for David. Now, as Saul would send David out, he would send him out to fight, and he'd go out and fight, and he would win his battles, and he would come back, and he didn't get all cocky and try to, you know, make out who he was. The people there knew that there was a difference, because they began to say what? They began to say, David has killed his 10,000s, and Saul has killed his thousands. And when this was said, Saul, he couldn't hang. He began to get jealous. And this is where all of the running and fighting came to. Amen? Now, as we know that when Saul sent him out and he was coming back, Saul even took him and said, okay, I'm going to set you over some men because I see you are a leader. And he was a leader. And in that leadership, he was able to show his loyalty not only to King Saul and to Jonathan, but to God. Because God, he knew where his strength came from. He knew that God was the only one that gave him the wisdom, the ability to do what he needed to do. Now, King Saul knew that David was anointed. He even confessed that. But this is the thing about David. David wasn't only just a warrior. David was an administrator also. David set up governments. He set up situations for worship. He lined up his army the way he wanted them to be lined up. So God had his anointing all over him. So when David said that he was going to go after King Saul, King Saul was sleeping. And David was going to go get him. And when they found him, King Saul was in a cave sleeping. So David goes in there along with Abishai. And 1 Samuel, the 26th chapter, verse number 9, says this. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And later on, as you read the rest of that, they found him again. That time, they just cut off a piece of his robe, and David showed it to him and let him know that he could have killed him. Saul, he went into his situation where he was humble about it, and he says, oh, you're a good man. I'm going to quit trying to fight you, and I'm not going to run after you and try to kill you because you've saved my life. Well, that only went so far. As we know that, as in the next section of what David had in his heart as a man after God's was the fact that he was upright. Number four, he was upright. He was holy. Now, this instance where he was holy, we can find in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. This is where Saul defrauded David. Now, how did he defraud David? He defrauded him this way. He promised whoever would kill Goliath would get to marry his daughter. Now, it didn't happen all just at once, but it happened long enough to where he decided to give his daughter to somebody else. David didn't go into any situation where he began to just demand what he wanted to have. Later on, the king did give him a wife to marry, and which was one of his daughters. The other time was when David came up on Saul, and they were sleeping out in the open. And David came up on him again. And his captain with him was saying, well, this is it. This is him. This guy has been doing this all the time. Go ahead. You have this opportunity to do it. David said, no, that he will not do that. And you can find that chapter 24, verse number 4. And when he did this, he took his spear and a cruse of water to prove to Saul that he was there and he could have killed him. And so when they did this, Saul, he didn't repent or anything. He just got up and said, you could have did it. You should have did it when you had the chance. Now, that was the number four with being holy and upright. And number five is he was a worshiper. As you know, most of the Psalms was written, and a lot of them are used as worship, which they are. Now, there are seven types of worship, but David, he used all of them. There was praise, there was thanksgiving, there was song, there was dancing, there was helping of others, there was spiritual gifts, and he was a living sacrifice. And so with this, as he worshiped, the people that followed him, they began to worship like he worshiped. They began to have an attitude of being loyal. They had an attitude of being compassionate because this is what their leader exhibited, and they followed in line. And so when he became compassionate with Samuel, it was because after he had been, after Saul was killed, David asked if there was anybody in the nation that was a relative of King David's, and because they were trying to find one. And so in finding a relative of Saul's, that he was going to be able to give him some land and things that Saul had coming to him, because Saul and his son Jonathan had been killed. And the son that came to that was brought to David was crippled. And in that, he told him, he said that he could eat at his table all the time. He was welcome in his house all the time. So he was compassionate towards Saul's family, not only because of Saul, but because of Jonathan. Now, that's number six. And number seven, he was a repentant man. Okay? Now, God, he loves confession and repentance. Now, there's six psalms that are noted for that called the penitential psalms. And in that, he would confess what he had done, and then he would repent that. Now, when he fell into pride and he counted his men, and his captain was telling him, do not go and count your men. You know that's not what is supposed to be. He went and did it anyway because he was following his king's, his leader's orders. And when he did this and he came back and he counted the men, then there was a prophet that was sent to him, And just like with Bathsheba, there was a prophet Gad that came to David and told him, for what you did, you're going to get three things that you can choose from that God said that he wants to do to you for your rebellion. And David said, what is it? And he told him, he says, well, you can either have 3 years of famine, or you can have 3 months of defeat by the enemy, or you can have 3 days of pestilence. Now, in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, you have 7 years of famine. But in either case, he chose the last one, which was 3 years of pestilence, because he said that he would rather be in the hands of God than in the hands of man. And so with that, he began to write. He began to pray and confess what he had done. And when he confessed and did these things, God began to speak to the people and let them know. Also, he did this. Psalms 51, he not only wrote that in private, but he confessed that to the whole nation. They probably already knew it anyway because it was with Bathsheba. But it was a confession, and it was heartfelt. That took a lot of courage. Plus, it showed exactly where David's heart was. He was serious about confession. He was serious about repentance. And in that seriousness, God rewarded him with the things that God had designed for him anyway because of what he did. He was not stiff-necked and said, well, this is the reason why I did this, because I wanted to find out how many men that we had, because he had just united the Judah and Israel, because Judah was defeated by Saul's son, and so he had rule over all of that, and he set up Jerusalem as the capital. But he knew that all the things that God had done for him, it wasn't because of his intellect, it wasn't because of his abilities, it was because of the obedience that he had within him. He knew that when he confessed those sins that he did and he repented, God even repented with him, because on the third day he told the angel to stop killing the people because you've already suffered enough. Amen? So this is the things that God does. Now, we've already had an altar call. Amen? But God had given me three questions I wanted to ask. So if you want to stand, we're going to just stand, and we're just going to reverence God right now with these questions that I'd like to ask. And these questions, you can speak to God right where you're at. Talk to him right where you're at. You don't even have to move your lips. The first question is this. What would it take for you to be described as a man or a woman after God's own heart? What would it take? The second question is this. What activities, thoughts, or behaviors would need to be removed from your life in order to have a heart after God? And not only the things that were removed, but the things that would be added to your heart. Because see, I know in my experience, I've had part of my heart wasn't where it was supposed to be. There was something still there that was causing me to go through situations that I didn't have to go through. I had to repent, like David had to repent. Because we were headed the wrong way. But if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a promise from God. We can stand on that promise. Because when he said he's faithful, that means that's every time. It doesn't mean just sometimes, but that's every time. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, thou shalt be saved. Now, we want to be able to go ahead and just pray right now. Father, I just come to you right now asking you in your name to continue to move in the hearts and minds of the hearers this evening. Father, I pray for a movement in their hearts, things that need to be taken out and things that need to be put in. Father, you know what they are. They know what they are. But Father God, in your mercy and your grace, I'm asking you to do this for the people that ask. And Father, I just prayed this evening that whatever was said that would benefit your kingdom, I pray that you would continue to let it move within their lives this evening, Father. I pray that you will be that God that has a heart that we desire to have after you. And with that, I just thank you, God. I praise you. I worship you. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.